Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks. And action.
What's up, Creeper McCreep faces?
What's up?
We are back, coming to you live with another episode of Spirits on Spirits, the podcast where you get to hear about ghosts and drink booze at the same time. So that's a win in my book.
My book, too.
Aiden, how are we doing today?
We're doing great. We're recording on a Saturday.
Ooh, yeah.
Little midday sesh.
Yeah, pretty excited about that. Getting a chance to record on a chill day. So excited. Sun's out, guns out. It's a beautiful day in Salem. A lot of tours, you know, a lot of tourists out and about. So, you know, felt the spooky energy walking over here.
Yeah, there's a little, like, market right outside my apartment right now.
Nice.
Big tourist day.
Yep, big tourist day. So
spooky season's
it's upon. Yeah, it's sneaking up. And, dude, I felt it. And that's why I was like, ooh, I can feel it in my bones.
Feel it in your skeleton.
Yeah, man. Spooky season's upon us. So, Aiden, you want to tell the people where we're headed this week?
Yeah, so we're heading to Denver, Colorado. Ooh,
take me home, country roads.
Little John Denver.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly.
So the drink this week sounds really good.
Yeah.
However, it looks...
It might taste good, though.
It might.
But it looks putrid.
The way it looks is disgusting.
Well, tell them what the drink is, and then we'll explain how it looks.
So it's called the Colorado Bulldog. What's in it is vodka. It's supposed to be Kahlua. I did Bailey's instead. And then some light cream and cola.
Yeah, that's a tough combo.
So it sounds...
Interesting.
Interesting.
It sounds intriguing with a chance. Like
it
sounds
kind of like a, and this is what I read about it online, is that it's like a twist on like an alcoholic root beer float kind of thing.
Ooh.
Which makes sense. However, as soon as I poured all of the ingredients together, it immediately started like curdling.
Yeah.
It looks
dicey.
It looks nasty.
It looks pretty dicey. I mean, the nice thing is, you know, you just made it. Every ingredient was fresh, so it didn't actually, like, the milk didn't go bad or anything
like
that.
Nothing's bad about it.
But the cream met the alcohol and went, oh, no, thank you, and just curdled immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not looking great.
No.
But I have to drink it.
You have to. For the fans,
so
dude.
So we'll see. And also, in the time between when I made it and us sitting here now, it's separated. If you look at it right now, it's like there's layers to it. Yeah.
There's layers of this shit, man.
The top and bottom are both chunky.
Yeah.
And then there's just liquid in the middle.
Oh, so, man. I don't. Yeah.
I don't know. I am not looking forward to putting my lips on that.
But no, yeah.
We'll do it for the fans.
Yep.
And
this one, so in all in truthfulness, I'm not it. This one, like, we couldn't find the ingredients for a mocktail version of it. So I have a nice glass of water next to me, and that is looking quite tasty compared to. I mean, I don't like it. Just it didn't like. Obviously, we could have done cola and coffee creamer, but there's no alternative to like Bailey's or anything like that. Maybe I guess, or like I could have done Kahlua alternative, which is just coffee, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like could have done coffee.
All right, I guess we could have tried a little bit harder. Story of our lives in the podcast. Could have tried a little bit harder.
Moral of the story is I'm the only one having to suffer through this.
That is correct.
Hopefully it tastes good. Hopefully yeah. the taste is there. Oh, man. All right.
Well, let's...
I, at this point, I'm procrastinating.
Let's just cheers and get into it.
Yeah, let's cheers and get this over with. Oh, boy.
I am so excited.
Oh, my... Dude, it's, like, hard. It's not
Aiden
like,
didn't even get any liquid in his mouth.
There's, like, a solid layer of, like...
Just tongue punch it, dude. Just,
I don't want to do that.
So he took a sip.
Oh, my God. You know, the taste is good. But look at that. Like,
no, it looks...
It's like... It's like I'm going ice fishing, and I have to punch a hole in the ice.
Oh,
my God.
My gosh.
Oh, it looks so gross.
No, yeah, this is horrendous looking.
Honestly, I think that the only reason that there's liquid in the middle is because I put an ice cube in there.
Potentially.
I feel like it would have just completely turned hard.
The whole thing is... I mean, so talk us through the flavor, though.
The flavor's good. It's,
really?
It's pretty just like coffee-ish. Yeah, it kind of just tastes like an Irish coffee a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I
don't... Yeah, it looks...
It doesn't look like one.
Look appealing. But as long as the taste isn't that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not... It's not... I'm going to take another sip.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have two of them, so...
Oh. Okay. So on second sip, all right, this is going to sound disgusting. I didn't chew this time.
Ew.
And I just felt the chunks go down my throat.
That is horrendous.
Oh, man. This was a mistake.
This
was a big mistake.
Maybe take one more sip, because that way you can, like... Like, you'd rather have it suck more at the beginning so then you can chill a little bit more?
Oh, God. Oh, man. Right.
You gotta do it, dude. That is...
Okay.
Oh, I heard the gulp on that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big gulp.
I mean, because I was trying to, like, really
just
expand my throat
really
to
get
just get
through
it down there. Yeah. Okay. All right, we survived. I was a little scared that I was gonna barf, but...
Yeah.
We survived it.
Nice.
Oh boy. So, have you ever been to Denver?
Yeah, actually, a couple of times. I used to go to high school out in Colorado, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I used to, like, yeah, I was, like, 2 hours outside of Denver. But I've, you know, spent some time in Denver
nice.
Because of that.
So, the location that I'm doing today... is I'm taking a page out of your book. I'm doing a little outdoor.
We headed outside?
Yeah, we're going out into the sun. To Cheeseman Park.
Cheeseman Park?
Yeah.
Like, as in cheese?
Spelled differently, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just C-H-E-E-S.
Is it the founder of cheese? No, that would have been way earlier, right?
No, I think you're right. I think it is the founder
of cheese.
I feel
like you're being sarcastic right now.
It's Cheeseman, the cheese guy.
Yeah, okay.
Cheeseman, the cheese man.
Dude, back in
that... How wasn't that my first one? All right. We're off today a little bit. I think this drink is throwing me off.
Oh, man.
Oh.
So, all right.
My stomach, like, I can feel... I can feel like the chunks.
Oh, man,
my,
you're going to need to go through for a walk in the break. Just like,
dude, I think I might throw up if I do that.
Oh, man.
I might throw up if I do, like, literally anything.
Oh, man. Well, you got to do it, man, for the fans.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's like staring me in the face.
For the fans.
It's so gross.
Yeah, no, this is, like, one of the moments where I'm like, wow, being sober, awesome.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't think I've ever burped on the pod. I just did.
Oh, man. All right, well, let's hear about Cheese McCheeseface.
Yep, Cheese McCheeseface.
There you go.
So, Cheeseman Park sits high in Denver, which high in the Mile High City is already pretty high. So
that is pretty high.
If you didn't know any better, you would think that it had always been as calm as it is now. It's just, it's a very laid-back place.
Word.
Oh, sorry. My body's like rejecting this chick, I think. Can't blame it. Oh, man. Ooh. All right. Okay, let's start back at the beginning of this park.
Cheese McCheeseface Park.
So in the late 1850s, as Denver City took shape on the South Platte, civic leaders set aside land downtown as a burial ground.
Ooh.
It was called Mount Prospect Cemetery.
Okay.
It was later renamed to Denver City Cemetery.
Okay.
And it took in pretty much everybody.
Oh, wow.
So there were pioneers, soldiers, prisoners, people whose families could afford headstones, and those who couldn't were just buried in unmarked areas.
So if you died in Denver during this time period,
you were pretty much buried there.
Gotcha.
In 1872, the federal government clarified that the land was actually federal property.
Oh.
And then the next year...
A little takesy-backsies?
A little takesy-backsies. And then the next year, Denver acquired the land from the federal government for a whopping $200.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? Back then might have actually been a decent chunk of change.
1872? Yep. Probably.
Probably.
But probably not anywhere near what that land would be worth.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
And Denver continued to use it as the city's principal cemetery.
Huh.
Over time, burials in the cemetery slowed as new cemeteries opened in other places. And by the 1880s, the old graveyard was already showing its age. So headstones were tilted, fences were sagging, and weeds were overgrowing and were hiding the names on the headstones.
So the cemetery just looked, it turned old. It started to sag and tilt and just like...
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
Yep.
It's like your Uncle Jerry or the cemetery.
Started getting some wrinkles.
Yeah. started saying super racist things in public with zero. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, the cemetery became super out of touch.
Yeah.
Families who could afford it started to move loved ones elsewhere.
Oh, it became that...
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It became that bad where they're like, we're going to actually
take our dead people elsewhere.
Yeah.
But a lot of people still didn't have the means to move bodies.
No,
so
sure.
A lot of people still remained. The shift from cemetery to park wasn't just a change of the use of the land. It was a decision with consequences.
Oh, with consequences.
Yeah. So pressured by nearby landowners who wanted something nice in the neighborhood instead of the eyesore that the cemetery was becoming.
Sure. They tried to move the cemetery into a home, and it was like, I'm not fucking going.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Congress agreed to vacate the cemetery in 1890 so that it could be converted into a park. The city offered families a 90-day window to reclaim their relatives who were buried there.
Oh.
And when that 90-day window passed, Denver hired an undertaker named E.P. McGovern to do the rest. Now, I know that probably sounds like an unimportant detail, but it becomes important in a moment.
Got you.
So,
who's your undertaker? Well, none other than the famous E.P. McGovern.
So, right before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about our stories.
Yeah.
And we didn't get into what our stories were.
No.
But we both talked about how our stories are a little bit dark.
Yeah, we got dork, bro. We got dark in this hoe.
So this is the part where my story becomes dark.
Oh, shit. E.P. McGovern started fucking the bodies.
No.
No. Oh, shit. No, all right. I'll shut my mouth.
But.
Ew. All right, let me not.
It's probably I wouldn't say it's equally as bad as fucking the body.
Oh,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
pretty dang bad. So the way that he was paid was per coffin removed from the cemetery, and
we love a commission based business.
He was transferring them to Riverside Cemetery, so the pay structure turned horrible in very predictable ways. So In March 1893, a local newspaper ran an expose. Workers were allegedly hacking the bodies into pieces.
Oh, Jesus.
To fit multiple remains into cheaper child-sized coffins.
Oh, Jesus.
That they brought in. So they bought all these child-sized coffins.
Oh, no.
They exhumed these bodies.
No.
They chopped
and they're
them
just
into
like,
pieces.
Shove it. So, like, oh, my. It's
and
like,
they were just shoving pieces of human body
into
these small, cheap coffins so that they would be paid more.
Horrible, dude.
Yeah.
Coffin Flop on Corn Cob TV would have been all over this, dude.
Oh, big time. This was a big
dude, maybe
flop.
He was just E.P. McGovern. I didn't rig shit. No, you definitely did, dude. You definitely rigged shit.
Yeah, well, these guys were rigging this.
Oh, man, 100%. That's so fucked.
Yeah. The headline called it The Work of Ghouls. And the descriptions were pretty grim.
Yeah.
Bones and bits of coffin shoveled into hastily numbered boxes.
Oh, jeez, dude.
While curious onlookers watched.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine?
Just, what are we? Well, I mean, okay, it's like the early 1900s, late 1800s. Like, what do you want to do today? You want to
go watch the bodies be exhumed and stuffed
just
into
stuffed. It's like, I just imagine it like your parents, like when you're going to go on like vacation as a kid. It's like they're shoving everything in the back of the car. It's like, instead of suitcases, it's like legs.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, just fucking fit in it. I'm like, oh, man.
My dad's really good at fitting things into. Yeah. He's really good at being compact.
Oh, man. That's
dude,
horrible.
Okay. But also, imagine being like what in the day was probably like pretty much a minimum wage worker.
Yeah.
Showing up to work, being like, all right, boss, where do you want me today? All right, you're going to be on the body hacking station.
Yeah, you're on chop duty. You're on chop duty
grab
today.
Grab an axe.
Yeah.
Oh, man, dude.
That is nuts.
So, needless to say, the mayor canceled the contract. The health department investigated, and the removal stalled with many graves still unaccounted for.
Yeah, I believe that.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
So that left the city with a dilemma and open graves. Over the next few years, Denver graded and leveled the ground, filled in the holes, and planted shrubs. The park opened in 1907 with meandering paths laid out by landscape architect Reinhard Schütze, a design that still shapes how the space feels. The Grand White Pavilion on the Eastern Rise would be completed a bit later, funded by the Cheeseman family. In the memory of Walter Cheeseman, who became the person that the park was named after.
Sure. Mr. Cheese.
But think about that, right? So they stopped the cemetery, like, what you call it, like an export?
Yeah.
Process midway.
Because they're like, whoa. Yeah,
we can't be doing that in broad daylight, guys.
E.P. McGovern's like, all right, boys, pack it up. We're out of here.
We're going home.
We're not appreciated enough.
I guess our services aren't wanted anymore.
Yeah. And you're
fucking
like,
politics.
Yeah. We didn't want you shoving the bodies in.
Chopping the bodies apart and shoving them into small coffins?
Oh, man.
What a weirdo. So, that's how the park became a park instead of a cemetery.
That's a tough start.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now we'll move on to the ghosts.
Dr. So, Cheese.
As you can probably guess, the hauntings began largely during that process.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, when the dead people were like, is anybody seeing this?
Yeah.
Can we get some witnesses
here? Oh, man. You could just, like, oh, man. You passed on, and then you just got ripped back.
Can you imagine being like, oh, cool, all right, we're getting moved.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a nicer place, a more scenic place. Oh, shit, my arm!
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing to my arm?
Oh, man.
Okay, on to the ghosts. So ask anyone who has walked in the Cheeseman, and you'll eventually hear about a thin woman with a long, dark skirt who combs the lawn like she's lost something small and precious. So she's like searching for
like her earring or eyeball or something.
Yeah, maybe a body part that was chopped off in the process. Witnesses say that she keeps her hands close to her chest, fingers working like she's counting beads.
Huh.
So maybe like a, what are those called? Rotaries?
Rosaries.
Rosaries.
Not a rotary.
Not a rotary.
Rotary is the thing your car goes wee, wee, wee around.
Rosary. That's right. She doesn't look up when you call out to her. She just drifts a few steps further, scanning. One jogger swears he followed her from the pavilion down toward the open meadow, certain that she needed help. She stopped beside a spot where the grass has a faint depression. One of those like low ovals that hold rain, like a puddle.
Yeah. Low oval.
I don't know why I wrote it that way. And she sank to her knees. When he caught up, there was nobody there and no imprint in the dew. People call her the Searcher. The theory is that she's looking for a headstone that was never moved with the body that was marked.
Yeah, she sounds like she's in it, bro. She's got a lot going on.
Yeah. So next is children.
Oh.
You know, the people that those coffins were made for originally.
Sure. Were they just coffin flopping kids and then shoving adults into them?
Maybe, dude.
Just
that would be so sick.
Yeah, so fucked.
So, if the Cheeseman Park has a signature haunting, it's the laughter. Children's voices can be heard near dusk, even when the lawns are empty. A picnic group once described a game of tag that seemed to be happening just at the edge of the trees. So it was like the little pitter-patter of like little feet.
Got you.
Breathless giggles, and then a person saying "not there" from no one.
Sure.
Like it just was coming from nowhere. When one of them clapped and said, "Okay, come on out," the noises stopped so abruptly it felt like a held breath.
Oh, geez.
On some nights, the play becomes visible—a small figure streaking through.
Streaking.
Not naked.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Just like
I didn't know if like you know? Like on the field at the Super Bowl streaking.
No. That would be disturbing.
Yes.
Between trunks and never emerging on the far side. And then lastly, in terms of hauntings, there is a man on the colonnade.
Oh.
So the pavilion is the park's like it's like the center of the park. It's like
sure.
So you watch it from the lawn, and you may spot a man standing on the pavilion, one hand splayed on the rail, the other in a coat pocket.
Huh.
He never leaves the shade of the columns. Can't blame him.
Oh, yeah.
That hot Denver air.
That's what it's really known for.
Yeah, super, super well known how hot Denver is. And never steps down the stairs.
Hmm.
People who have approached describe a sudden wrongness in perspective as if the colonnade stretches an inch longer than it should. So it's like it's like extending as
got
they walk
you.
Closer.
Do you think it's Dr. Cheese?
Dude, it could be Dr. Cheese.
It might be.
Could be the Cheese Man.
The Cheese Man
himself. Photographers who have shot weddings there have accidentally captured a figure.
Oh, shit.
Of this guy.
That's crazy.
The best detail that we have on him is the hat. So it's a brim, narrow hat.
Huh.
That would put him, like, somewhere in the 1800s. Some have wondered if he's a watchman who's furious that the graves that he guarded at one point were turned into this
maybe.
Because it's like, you know, he was there to like make sure that these
sure
that exactly what happened to these
didn't happen
and then all and then of it a sudden,
happened
it happened. So at Cheeseman, dog owners who walk their dogs in the park tell the same story independent of one another. So they'll be walking their dog, and all of a sudden, it just hits like an invisible boundary in the ground. Like it just like
what the fuck?
Suddenly, they all just stop in that one spot.
That sounds weird as hell, dude.
Yeah, they so just, it's like broop. Normal, happy dogs, like
yeah,
trotting along with their owner, and yeah, then all of a sudden, it's
and
like
they just hit a wall. Stop. Weird.
And they lower their head, and no amount of coaxing will bring them across.
So they like see some shit.
Yeah, or feel some shit or hear some shit.
Something.
Something happens.
Weird.
In order to like get them to walk past it, they have to circle the area wide, and they'll never take their eyes off of like the spot that they stop in.
Huh.
What unnerves people is like the consistency of it. Like it doesn't matter what dog it is.
It's like every dog.
What the personality of the yeah dog is, what the temperament of the dog is, every dog stops in that spot. So, very strange.
That's super strange.
So, that is the Cheese Man Park.
That's crazy. That park, that's not, that had a lot more going on than what I expected.
Yeah, when I said it was dark, I meant
yeah dork. Shoot.
All right, dork. I'm going to make an attempt at this drink again.
Oh, I'm excited at this. As you are making an attempt, I will start Haunted or Nah. Yeah, for sure. I think chopping up bodies and shoving them in kid coffins is a great way to make your place haunted.
Yeah.
So, I'm going y'all for haunted.
See, I would be able to do this drink like 100%.
Yeah.
With the flavor. But
just close your eyes.
No, it's not a matter of like, oh, it looks gross.
Yeah.
It feels gross.
Yeah, that's
in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. What if you got a straw?
Then I wouldn't be getting all the chunks.
Well, yeah,
all the flavor chunks.
That's so gross, dude. That is so gross.
Oh man,
are you not gonna be able to do a second one?
I don't know, man.
That's why. You know what? I don't think anyone's gonna fault you.
You know what? If you're listening at home, though, give it a shot. Maybe I did something wrong. Like look.
Well,
look
maybe up the Bailey's instead of the Kahlua might be, because like Kahlua is not creamy. Like it's a
yeah
coffee liqueur.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
So that might have made a big difference.
Like still attempt this.
Yeah.
Because the pictures of the drink online didn't look like this. So I don't know what it is that I did, but something I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go haunted on this one. I definitely think that like just like not only disturbing the graves, like if they had just been moving the graves, I think that would have been one thing. But to
desecrate
the bodies
in like that way is
just
wild.
For a little extra money.
No, that's wild.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, what, you just think that like people aren't going to see this happen?
No, exactly. It seems like they didn't care at all.
There were people watching.
They're like, you guys said per coffin, no takesy backsies. Yes.
We're transporting the bodies, yeah, just not all in
together
the same,
yeah,
together.
You didn't say anything about the bodies staying together?
That's not in our contract.
Yeah. It's so funny, too, because like everyone, like, not everyone, but a lot of people now are like, yeah, like, we wish America could go back to the way it used to be, where everyone just was honest, hardworking, like folk and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then you see this, and you're
look
like,
at this.
Yeah. So
no one would be trying this today.
No.
Whatsoever. I mean, granted, that's because people would be filming
yes
them. But still.
No, crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy, crazy. But yeah, yeah, haunted, haunted, haunted. All right, you want to reload, and then I'll hit him with my story?
Sounds good.
All right, be right back.
Peace.
Peace. We're back.
We're back.
Aiden, did you reload the drink?
So I didn't make a whole second one. I just added an extra shot so that it's like I'm doing the same alcohol intake, but
yeah,
not having to add the nasty ass ingredients.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think our listeners would get on board with that.
Yeah. I'm not shorting the audience of my future drunkenness. I'm just consolidating it into one drink.
Yep. So, all right. Do you want to hear my story?
No, I think we should just end the episode there.
All right, fine by me.
Peace.
Easiest episode I've ever done, dude. Just called some cemeteries racist and talked about coffin flopping, and that's a good day by me.
Yeah, didn't have to drink this fucking abomination. Nope. Frankenstein drink.
All right, well, the location that I'm doing today is technically, I guess, an outside location. It's a spot near County Road 194. So
just a spot? It's not.
Yeah. So I'll get into it. And I guess the graves. Oh, actually, you know what? The people in my story rest at Riverside Cemetery in Denver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is where everyone got moved to from your story. And they died in 1864. So I don't think they would have gotten placed at the other cemetery first, right?
No, because I think, if I'm remembering correctly, my place was created in 72.
Yeah. So, all right. We got a story. This one's dark, dude.
Yeah, yeah. You had mentioned before recording
that. I told you last episode, bro. I'm going spook factor, man.
Dude.
I'm going spook factor.
I want to be quaking in my boots.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we're heading back to June of 1864, just outside of Denver, a couple miles outside of the city, in what is currently known as Franktown, I believe. I wrote that down somewhere. And this, like, Denver, outside of Denver, especially at this period of time, is the wild, wild west, okay? We got it's the frontier, man. Like, it is the frontier. There's a lot of people that moved to this area because of the gold rush that was happening at this point. Denver, or Colorado, has a lot of gold mining and stuff like that. So a lot of people moved to this area in search of gold, a new beginning, a lot of that stuff. And, you know, with that whole, with the frontier, you are going to have tension, you're going to have transformation, you're going to have a lot of stuff going on. You're also going to have a lot of displacing of indigenous nations. So you're going to have pretty fragile peace treaties, you're going to have settlers building ranches in places that maybe didn't go by the treaty. There's a lot of tension, there's a lot of, life on the frontier is hard. The vibe is kind of rugged, aggressive. Like, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. It is not for the gentle people, okay? So the family that we are focusing on today is the Hungate family. H-U-N-G-A-T, right? Hungate?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had a family of settlers, Nathan and Ellen Hungate, and they were in their 20s, and they had two little girls, Laura, who was about 2 years old, and Florence, who was barely 6 months old. Okay? Oof. Yep. They lived southeast of Denver on the ranch of David Kellogg of Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, origins. Of course.
No, I'm kidding. I don't actually have any idea. I did not research that at all.
I highly doubt that he created Frosted Flakes.
Maybe.
But I don't know that 100%. So.
So we're talking, like I said, an isolated place that was pretty dangerous. There was rumors of raids often, stolen livestock, and just a rising violent kind of atmosphere that kept settlers on edge. Okay? So let's go to the specific date. And so this event in history is known as the Hungate Massacre.
Man, dude. Not the 6-month old.
All right. So June 11th 1864, Nathan left the homestead to check on livestock after signs of trouble, and he never came back. Okay. Hours later, the neighbors discovered the Kellogg Ranch house had been burned to the ground. So, he had never come home. We don't know, or at least people didn't know what happened, but then when they went to check, or not even check, they just saw smoke in the air, and they saw that the Kellogg Ranch house had been burned to the ground. Yep. And nearby, they found the Hungate family. And the sight was horrific. So Nathan had been shot, scalped, and mutilated.
Ooh.
Ellen, his wife's throat had been slashed. And the two daughters had been stabbed brutally in cold blood.
So, in terms of, like, biggest fears, I would say being scalped alive.
Yeah.
Definitely up there.
It's up there. I could see why that would be up there.
Like, irrational fear. It doesn't really happen as much anymore.
No, that's fair.
But
should we bring it back, dude?
Oh,
dude. No, I'm kidding. Yeah,
bring back scalping.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, no, 100%. And I think what people noticed at this time was these killings were not subtle. These were not meant to be subtle.
Yeah.
They were meant to shock. They were meant to terrorize and all that stuff. Now, this was an interesting move by people. And you know what? It was the move they made. So I'll just say that. The next day, they brought all the bodies into Denver by wagon. And they placed them on public display near Laramie Street. And they just kind of laid them out in the wagon for the public to see. And it was meant to kind of create a public outcry, a public fury for, I believe, for the indigenous nations, like in an effort to rally people against the indigenous nations.
I imagine that probably worked.
Newspapers across the territory reported on the murders using the words like ghoulish and unthinkable, and within weeks, the Hungate massacre became the rallying cry for an all-out war. Territorial Governor John Evans and Colonel John Shivington seized on the tragedy as proof that Native tribes had to be destroyed. And just 5 months later, that fear and hatred exploded into one of the darkest chapters in U.S. history, the Sand Creek Massacre, where hundreds of Native Americans, mostly women and children, were slaughtered by U.S. troops. So the Hungate Massacre really started this whole thing. And you know what was interesting was, as people went back, they're not even sure that the Native American tribes, the indigenous tribes, did it.
That was my next question.
No, yeah.
Did they ever find out who actually did it?
No, so they didn't. And, you know, like I said, there was a lot of different, settler groups and, like, cattle-stealing groups. Like, there was people that had bad intentions out on the frontier of many different origins and stuff like that. So they...
Actual, like, Native people have only scalped one of them? I feel like that was just kind of a...
I maybe because it was the man.
Yeah.
They might have scalped him only because he was the man. So, yeah, definitely interesting situation.
Yeah, it's an interesting move to show everybody their bodies.
Yeah.
Not a decision I would have made, but,
no,
you know.
Me either. But it was definitely a calculated move.
Yeah.
So, now let's get into the ghosts. And, you know, like, a tragedy of that scale doesn't fade at all. Like, you know, locals say that the land remembers. And the site of the massacre, like I said, which is, you know, now known as County Road 194, has had a pretty long-standing history of ghostly encounters and witnesses since then. So there's a bridge there, and people call it the Ghost Bridge because people report seeing a shadow rider on horseback appearing and then disappearing on the lonely dirt road. And there's been different accounts that kind of lend itself to both stories. So one, people have seen that the horse rider has looked like he's wearing frontier clothing, which is obviously what not what Native Americans were wearing at that point in time.
Yeah.
And then also, two, there have been people that have reported seeing traditional Native American wear. So, you know, we really, the ghost rider hasn't given a definitive answer one way or the other of who committed this atrocity. And then what has also been reported in the area is people will be driving and then this really thick, cold fog will just roll in out of nowhere.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like thick, cold fog. What?
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of that. I mean, isn't that just kind of like par for the course in Denver? I feel like the weather there is kind of weird.
I guess. I don't know, man. I don't think so. I mean, like, no. I mean, like, it's pretty high. The elevation-wise is pretty high, so you don't get a ton of, like, you get a lot of snow, especially in the winter. Hmm. But, like, it's pretty sunny all the time. I don't know. Whatever. But it's so thick that it blinds them.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, like, thick.
With two C's.
With two C's. and then another thing, people have felt the sensation of being pushed or shoved when they have gotten, like, out of the car or been, like, on foot in this area, which I thought was interesting.
And so, do they think that this is the people who were massacred or the people who were doing the massacre?
I don't know. Because I actually went back and forth. I'm like, I don't think people who massacre would be just
there
shoving you. Well, I was like, that's so just not a great... Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, they would have, like, their ghost knife.
And yeah, would be something. They'd shank you. Yeah, they'd something. Ghost scalp you. Yeah, so I definitely... I don't know. I thought that was a little peculiar. But it's been reported. And I also feel like the people that were murdered wouldn't be pushing you either. So
no, because...
Yeah, the whole situation.
You didn't do it.
Yeah. And I think the most chilling of the encounters or situations that has been brought up is that you can hear children laughing and then it goes into crying.
Oh, that's sad.
Like screaming and hysterical crying.
So it is probably the massacred.
Those ones, massacring. Yeah. So, yeah. The other thing is the graves themselves, like I said, in Riverside Cemetery, have talked about cold spots, shadows, and then just an overwhelming sensation of grief, which is obviously makes sense in my opinion.
It makes sense in my opinion as
yeah.
well. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
So, haunted or not, what do you think?
I think that certain... I'll go with an umbrella haunted, but I think that certain aspects of the quote-unquote hauntings are explainable.
Okay.
Like the weather, like the fog.
Okay.
Know, that's weather.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, like, children laughing, that's a little bit out of the ordinary
uh-huh.
when you're alone out mm-hmm. there. So
for sure. Laughing into crying.
Into crying.
Yeah, I think for me, like, this is just such a horrific and kind of unexpected event that, like, it really, that energy, that very dark energy probably got stuck there.
Yeah, that's just a really sad story.
Yeah. Not cool. Of whoever did that.
Very uncool.
So. Yep. Life on the frontier, man.
It was not for the faint of heart.
Not for the faint of heart at all. So. That's all I got. Told you.
Cool. All right.
Well, enjoy the rest that's of awesome. Your day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 4 o'clock now. Oh, man. All right. Well, to the peeps at home. Follow us on socials.
Yeah, do it. Or like I'll cry.
Yeah, and same.
Mm-hmm.
I'll laugh turned into crying. Yeah. Follow us on socials, like, subscribe, and tell us, like, send us any ghost stories that you have.
Yeah, that'd Email be cool.
Us, DM us.
Yeah, whatever. We read all our DMs.
We read like everything.
We've actually been going back and forth in the DMs. The DMs have been active this week, bro.
They have been active.
So, if you have sent us one, we will definitely be getting back to you. So, if we have not gotten back to you, please reach out again if you're like, I need to get answered now. But if you are good waiting, we will go through everything and figure it out. So, cool. Appreciate you guys.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky. Peace.